In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Take no thought for your life, Christ says. Take no thought for your life. Don't worry about your life. Saying to yourself, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we put on? Jesus is not saying what we think he's saying. Because what life means to us is not what he's talking about. What does life mean to me? When is my life threatened? When I have a life-threatening disease? If I am brought before the emperor and told that if I do not deny Christ, I will lose my life? Is that what my life means to me? The welfare of my body, the health of my body? If so, then what Jesus says makes no sense at all. Don't worry about what you eat. Don't worry about what you drink. Don't worry about food and clothing. Well, what does he mean? What do the words say? As he spoke them, or as they're written down, and we have them in the original Greek. When he says life, he means that which God breathed into us that makes us alive. He's talking about the soul. And it's not idealistic and impractical the way we think it is. It's very practical. And it has to do with our lives as we actually live them. We do try to feed our souls by things that we buy, by the jobs that we work, by the prestige that we seek, by the glory that we try to show in front of others, to show them that we are significant and important, by the homes that we keep, by the food that we eat, all of the things that concern us, that have to do with the body and impressing others. Jesus says, don't be concerned about those because they don't have anything to do with your life. The soul, as the Blessed Theophylact would say, does not eat. And your life is your soul, not your body. That's why the early Christians had no fear of the emperor. He could not take their life. He could not take their soul. He could not threaten them by threatening the body. But today, when we have a life-threatening disease, we revert to paganism. We start calling to God to take care of our bodies, because our body is what gives us life. And if we lose our body, then we've lost our lives. We've spent our entire lives building up all of the things that we have to glorify our worldly life, all of our worldly values, all of the efforts that we make to impress others, not just by the things that we own, but also by our manner of living, by our education, by our position. Everything has to do with worldly values and the effort to impress others. And it all has to do with the body and this world. None of it has to do with the life of the soul. The soul does not partake of any of that to its nourishment. Now, it may wither the soul that we think so little of it, that we try to feed it with worldly things and self-love and self-glorification, and the soul withers inside of us, and we become more and more like the animals who live by instinct, because our instinct becomes more like their animal instinct, to spend our lives seeking food, seeking safety, seeking to dominate other more frightening animals. That's the way we live our lives, and that's what we think our life is. But Jesus isn't speaking to that. He's saying, take no thought for feeding your soul, your life, because you are more than the lilies of the field, the birds of the air, the animals that I have created. They live by instinct and do what they are meant to do because they are created as the grass of the field, the birds of the air, the animals of the forest, and they live by instinct. But you are greater than these. You don't have to worry when it comes to sustaining the life of your soul as a human being by instinctually seeking power and control and authority and glory and clothing and food and houses better than anyone else's. You don't have to descend to that instinctual level, because that's the level that we're living at if we're concerned with those things. You don't have to do that. You don't have to try to feed your soul in that kind of way. And we do. We feed our soul with vanity and pride. All of those things are gained to feed our soul, vanity and pride. And those things are poison to our soul. And so he's telling us, don't try to sustain your life like that. You can't add anything to what I have created you to be. No thought, no thing that you do can add one cubit to what I have created you to be. The lilies of the field, the birds of the air, the animals of the forest, they take no thought for the things that they need, and God provides for them. We need take no thought for being provided for. We need only to concern ourselves with the spiritual life that is our life, the source of our life. That's what he's saying. Don't try to feed your soul by giving it the food of the world. And when it comes to glorification, the lilies of the field don't glorify themselves. They live as the grasses of the field that they are, and God makes them beautiful. If we live as human beings are meant to be, we'll be glorified and beautified by God. When we decide that we need to glorify ourselves, to have things that impress other human beings, or to make ourselves physically beautiful and attractive and sculpt our lives so that they are impressive to others, we are glorifying ourselves. We are taking thought for self-glorification. The grasses of the field, the birds of the air, the animals of the forest, they don't do that. And we ought not do it either, because the irony is it makes us more like them. We are falling into a kind of animal instinct that leads to our self-glorification out of fear of death, out of lack of concern for God, first of all. These words that Jesus is speaking now after having given the Beatitudes are the things that are of first importance. These are the things that are of first importance. He's not saying that food and clothing aren't important, but if you live your life as a human being ought to live his or her life, you will have those basic things. You have to pursue the higher things that have to do with being a human being. If we think of the saints, those who have lived lives like Christ, loving others, loving God, caring for those close to them. If they are married, their wives and their children. If they are not married and they are monastic, then they care for the whole world and they devote their lives to prayer and to a self-transformation that makes them able to be a source of spiritual wisdom and inspiration for everyone. Not by glorifying themselves, but by exactly doing the opposite, by forgetting about themselves, forgetting about the demands that are made by the body for food and clothing. Those things come second. And they are given a glory, a beauty, that is the kind of glory and beauty that is appropriate to a human being. The grasses of the field, they have the beauty of the lilies. The birds of the air, they have the beauty of birds of the air. And beauty for a human being Glory for a human being is to show forth through Christ the glory and the beauty of God. We can't gain that by glorifying ourselves. We can't gain that by beautifying ourselves. We can't gain it by showing to others that we, at least it's always a pretense, really, that we are powerful, in control of our lives, able to live on the basis of our own authority. That isn't how we reveal the beauty of a human being. It makes us seem fools to anyone who knows what a human being is meant to be like. Any true Christian will see through vanity and the show and the display that we think are so important. And so in our lives, we need to keep first things first. If we are going to be Christians, we need to break this idea that our life is the welfare and the health of our bodies. When we face serious illness, let's not revert to paganism and believe that fighting for the health of the body and a life that goes on year after year after year after year, as many decades as possible, with our self-devotion to the things of this world, that God is going to answer our prayers and give us one more decade of self-affirmation, one more decade of self-glorification, one more decade of wealth. The time will come when this person is never going to change. I have given them all of these years, all of these decades, and they still pray to me for nothing more than more and more and more of the things of the world and the health of the world. They believe that the life of the body is true life. They have no idea what I mean when I say, take no thought for your life by worrying about food and clothing and all the rest of it. They don't know that life means the soul. Psyche, that's the word in Greek that Jesus used. Not sarx, not soma, no word that means body. He referred to our true life. This is what he is encouraging us to live. This is what he came into the world in order to save, in order to give us true and eternal life. But the fact of the matter is, most of us don't even want that. We just want to pray to God for more food, more clothing, more wealth, more happiness in terms of the values of the world. We don't think in terms of the life that God came into the world and died on the cross in order to give us. In order to see that this is the truth, it requires repentance, turning around, away from the world, leaving that behind. We can have a pious, religious faith that God will provide us the things that we love and believe in, the things of this world. Christ is not even talking to us. How can he hear our prayers when we don't pray for life, when we don't pray to be more and more like him? And so when we hear these words, take no thought for food and clothing, because that's not how you feed the soul. Let's realize that Jesus is encouraging us to feed our souls so that we might live and not die. If we believe that our bodies are our life, then like the grass of the field, we will live for a season and then be destroyed. But if we know the true life that God came into the world in order to return to us, then we will live for the life that only God can give us, that we cannot make for ourselves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.